Right, okay. Right. Good morning, everybody. Ooh. I'm a bit loud. I need turning down. How are we all? Right, who watched Eurovision Song Contest? Yay! I only watched it because we were winning, and then we lost. So I'm a bit tired this morning, so bear with me. Well, welcome everybody to worship. I just want to read Psalm 100 to you, because it's a lovely psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. This is a bit I like. This doesn't often happen. Enter the gates with thanksgiving. Are we thankful this morning?
Oh, yes.
And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Sometimes it's very hard to come to church with thanksgiving and praise. We have things on our mind, things that have happened in the week. But let's come today with thanksgiving and let's praise him this morning. We're going to start with the hymn 428, Lord for the Years. Thank you, sir.
Jesus.
us pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come this morning with thanksgiving and praise in our heart, Lord. We thank you for the things that you've done for us this week. All the things that you've done, and we thank you that you've brought us here this morning, Lord. We just give ourselves to you. May we surrender ourselves. May we listen to what you have to say to us this morning, Lord. And we just thank you that we can actually come in peace without fear. Lord, there's so many Christians in the world today that have to just see you and praise you in secret, Lord. They can't share their faith in case of imprisonment or torture or death. But we thank you that we have the freedom here to just come and lay ourselves before you, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we can't really praise you enough for the things that you've done. It's that you sent your Son to die for us on the cross, that we can be forgiven. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you now. May we, in the most quietness, just give our thanks for the things you've done for us this week, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, and praise you. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I can come. Thy will be done. Heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Shall we pray for the young people as they go out to their Sunday school? Okay. Oh Lord, we thank you for our young people and the enthusiasm they have to come and hear about you. And we pray for the Sunday school teachers now that they will be inspired by you to teach the young people about you, that they may carry it on through their lives in the week, Lord. Bless them, Lord, now. We ask it in your name. Amen. Have fun. Enjoy. Lovely to see the enthusiasm as they go up the stairs. It's great, isn't it? And we're going to now have a poem. Thank you.
Oh, so you've left a pair for me.
Yeah, I thought you'd look quite fine.
Morning. At times, our Christian life can be a little bit of a difficult journey. Our trust in God may waver, but his faithfulness never fails us. The short poem I've got to read to you it's about faith, and it's meant to inspire us with hope and trust in God. Not surprisingly, it's called Stand in Faith. Even when you can't see your way, even when you feel like you can't face another day, even when the tears want to flow from your eyes, stand in faith, knowing that our God will always provide. Even when you feel that all hope is gone, stand in faith, knowing that he is always there for you to lean on. Even when you feel like giving up, stand in faith, because he is there saying, just look up. Even in those times when you feel so alone, stand in faith, hold on and be strong, for he is still there on the throne. Even when it's hard to believe, stand in faith, knowing that he can change your situation suddenly. Even in those times when you feel it's hard to pray, stand in faith, and believe that he has already made the way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, stand in faith. We're going to sing again, hymn number 449, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And I gather this was actually chosen by Margaret Lovell, who unfortunately can't be with us today.
Thank you. just made it in time. Morning. This is the first part of Daniel in the Lion's Den. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct for government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and never corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisers and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing.
Thank you, Steve, for that reading. Most of us know quite a bit about Daniel. He's one of these people that most people know about. We know the writing on the wall, the fiery furnace. It's the kind of stories you do in Sunday school. So I thought we'd look at the first few chapters of Daniel 6. I'll take my glasses off. Daniel 6. But I want to start at right at the beginning, because it's quite interesting to go back and see the kind of world that Daniel was taken into. So we start with chapter 1 of Daniel. And King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon declared war on Jerusalem, and he besieged the city. He then decided, King Nebuchadnezzar usually took the best people, the intelligent people he could use. He left the poor behind. So he decided that he needed some young men who were healthy and handsome, intelligent, good thought, and well educated from royal family and nobility. And one of those was Daniel. So Daniel then was taken to Babylon. And it's interesting that King Nebuchadnezzar actually was quite happy for people to take their gods with them. I'm not quite sure he realised the kind of god that Daniel had, but he was quite happy for other people to bring their gods with them, and he worshipped them as well. So he was quite happy for that to happen. I think it more than he bargained for when God came along. So Daniel and his friends were taken to Babylon. They then served in the court. They had 3 years training to do this. It wasn't straight away. So they had 3 years to train to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's court. But it's quite interesting because Daniel, right at the beginning in chapter 1, had to make a choice. But Daniel determined that he would not defile himself by eating the king's food. It could be, Jewish law that he couldn't eat pork, and the king's food was quite rich and had pork and meat in it. But he had to make a decision very early on in a land, in a culture that worshipped idols, made out of wood and stone. He had to make a choice early on. Who is he going to serve? Who is he going to trust? He could have, you know, had his feet on both camps. He could have eaten the food and he could have, you know, worshipped God at the same time. Doesn't really work. You know, God wants either or either. So he made that conscious decision not to defile himself, to stand by his principles and to obey God. And so he asked just to eat vegetables. And then we get to chapter 2. And then we have the king's dreams. And Daniel interpreted those dreams for the king. So towards the end of chapter 2, he did interpreted the dreams. Then the king promoted Daniel to high position in his kingdom, lavished him with gifts and made him governor over the entire province of Babylon and a chief in charge of all the Babylonian wise men. So he's gone up into the ranks. Now he was in charge of the entire province. And then in chapter 3, we have the four men in the furnace. And I think that's quite a... most of us know that story. And I didn't realise that actually Daniel doesn't appear in that chapter. He wasn't there when they were in the furnace. And then we get chapter 4 and we get more dreams. And then till the end of chapter 4. And then we come to chapter 5. And we also, I think we know this one as well, the writing on the wall. And Daniel interpreted it again. So by the end of chapter 5, the king did what he promised. He robed Daniel in purple, draped with great gold chains around his neck, and promoted him to third in charge in the kingdom. So he's gone up in ranks quite nicely. And then the king dies. So in chapter 6, we have a whole new king. And in most things, I think, isn't it, when you get a new person in charge, they change everything. You know, politics, they change the cabinet, and if you have a new job and you get a new boss, they like to move things around. So the new king, Darius, reorganized his kingdom. I'm reading this from the Messenger because it's a bit easier to understand. So he appointed 120 governors to administrate all parts of his realm. And so then over them were three vice regents, one of whom was Daniel. That was fine. But then the trouble came when the king promoted him up the ranks. As I read in verse, read the governor's report. But Daniel, bringing with the spirit and intelligence, so quickly outclassed the other vice regents and governors that the king decided to put him in charge of the whole kingdom. So you can understand why the rest people underneath him got a bit niffed. You know, suddenly Daniel was promoted over them. So they decided to do something about it. And this is where we come to the degree. And they got together and they decided that they ought to find something on Daniel. You know, he couldn't actually be in charge of everybody. That really wasn't on. And they couldn't find anything. He was totally exemplary and trustworthy. I'm not sure that could be said about me and my Christian life. But they had to find something else. I wonder when Christians look at our lives, or non-Christians look at our lives, do they find Christ in us? Do we show them through our actions and our words who Christ is? Daniel did. It's important because we can have head knowledge. We can know the Bible inside out. But if it's not acted out in our lives, it's pointless. Because how are people going to know who Christ is if they can't see him through our lives? But they saw Christ, God, through Daniel's life. So they decided that that's the way to go. You know, if we can't find any skeletons in the cupboard, we hit it where it hurts. We hit the God he worships, the God he follows. So they went to the king. They decided that they'd have this degree. They went to the king. And they used the king to get what they wanted. They used the king's pride and the fact he liked to be thought highly of to get the degree through. And I wonder if they hadn't done that, whether the king would actually think about having this. So they had this degree. For the next 3 days, no one is to pray to any god or mortal except you. Or, if they don't do that, they'll be thrown in a lion's den. And the king decided that was a good idea. I mean, why not be worshipped? Why not be prayed to for the next 30 days? So Daniel then had to make a decision again. Does he go with the king? It's only 30 days. I mean, he could pray to the king for 30 days and then go back to praying to God. And what's 30 days? Not much, is it? Or does he do as he did before and obey God? Because God needs all of us. He doesn't like sharing. He doesn't like us to have a bit of a foot in the world and a bit of a foot in with him. So who is Daniel going to trust? Is he going to trust God? Or is he going to think, I'm not sure about the lion's den, you know. Those lions can be a bit fierce. I think I'll just trust the king. If I pray to him for 30 days, I'm not going to end up in the lion's den. Do we compromise our faith? Is it easier to go with the crowd just for a while? Is it easier to be a Christian in church with Christian friends, but not with the other friends? Because God doesn't really mind, does he? As long as we go to church and worship, as long as we're okay with our Christian friends, does it really matter what we're like with our non-Christian friends? Daniel had to make the choice, and he only had two choices, the king or God. We only have two choices, God or the world. There's no compromise. We can't have it both ways. It's hard. It would have been easier for Daniel to just worship the king for 30 days and carry on as usual for the next afterwards. Sometimes it's easier for us to have a bit of the world when things get tough. Or it looks good. It's nice. All our friends have it. All our friends do it. And then carry on with our Christian life afterwards. God requires us to decide who we're going to trust. I think there's a verse in the Bible, and I can't remember where it is. It's in the Old Testament, I think, where it said, who are you going to trust today? Who is going to be the person you trust your life to? Your job to, your family to, your life to, your possessions to, your money, all these things. Because, you know, Daniel was in a high position. I suspect he, you know, his life was quite good. He wasn't, you know, down the ranks, he was high up. But he didn't compromise his faith. We may be well off. We may have lots of money. I don't know. We may have a big house. I don't know. Life might be easy. But it doesn't mean we have to compromise our faith. God needs all of us. The nitty-gritty of life, the bits and pieces that we think aren't important, are important to God. So Daniel was stuck with a choice. And the choice is in the next bit, which I'm not going to... But I think from here, from this few verses, it tells us, to me, who do we trust with our possessions and our lives? We need to trust God. Because ultimately, he is the one that will give us eternal life. He is the one that sent his son to die for us. And when he comes back again, we can't stand in front of him and say, well, actually, I was a Christian for those days. I know I lapsed for the rest of the week. He wants us all, every single bit of us. Thank you. Right, shall we sing the hymn 258, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. In God we trust. Trying to find my way without getting lost. I'm struggling to win at any cost. Doing it my way is an absolute must. Never believing in God we trust. Again, I have fallen for the endless time. My arrogant stubbornness should be a crime. It's all over. I've crumbled to dust. What do you mean, in God we trust? Beginning to understand about faith and hope. Taking the pressure off with a new way to cope. No longer shipwrecked by a small wind gust. I feel strength and commitment. In God we trust. Being happy and thankful each day of my life. No more selfishness, for it cuts like a knife. Putting a stop to my worldly greed and lust. It's time to change. In God we trust. We're not alone in our dreams and aspirations. Be patient and wait for our reserved accommodations. Love one another and do what is just. For our lives begin and end in God we trust.
Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your everlasting love that surrounds us when we need you most. The peace you give to us in difficult times. The joy that just bubbles up inside us when we're touched by your faithfulness. We thank you for all the prayers you've answered in the last few days. Help us to acknowledge your work in our lives. We praise you for our beautiful world, the flowers and blossom everywhere around us, the leaves on the trees in every shade of green we can imagine, and the continual sound of birdstop whenever we bother to stop and listen. We thank you for the people that you give to us who live as part of our lives. Family, neighbours, friends, our church family. Thank you for each one of them. We pray for our world, the fighting in all corners of the world, disputes between people. We think of those people living in very harsh conditions, for those who live in fear, for those that are hungry and cold, for those living under oppression and lack of freedom. Lord, we bring our world to you. Lord, we pray for those people that we know who are not well at this time. Lord, there are so many people in our church family awaiting for operations and appointments. For those who care for them at this time, be with them. Give them your special touch. Help us to support and encourage those people who are finding life difficult at this time. Give us compassion and show us how we can help. We pray for those who mourn, for those with funerals attend this week. Lord, be their comfort. We pray for our community, as Love Wickham launched their intention to pray for every road in Wickham and the surrounding areas. Help us to do our part to surround our community in prayer. We pray for Sharon this weekend. Surround her with your love and refresh her as only you can. Lord, we pray for other members of our church family, those who are too frail to worship with us, those we love in care homes at this time, for those young people facing exams in the coming weeks, for those relaxing on holiday, bless each one of them. We pray for our government and all the problems they face at this time. Give them wisdom and guidance in the days ahead. We pray for our Queen and all her family as they support her in the work of the monarchy. And finally, we pray for ourselves, that we will know that we've worshipped with you this morning, that we will hear your voice in the readings, the poems, the hymns, the prayers, the thoughts. Help us to be the people renewed by our time together to go out this week and be the people you want us to be. Amen. We sing again that lovely hymn, 4, 5, 6. Make me a channel of your peace. 4, 5, 6.
So continuing the reading from Daniel chapter 6. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God.
Have you ever found yourself in the middle of a situation that has scared you, and you wondered how on earth you got yourself into that mess, and you really questioned why you were doing it? Well, recently we went to the Lost Gardens of Heligan in Cornwall. You can't see where this is going, can you? We wandered around admiring the beautiful colours and shapes of the flowers and shrubs. And then Nigel noticed a new rope bridge so that you could admire the plants much more closely and have that special experience. You get my drift. Well, as we walked up to it, the rope looked very thick, and there were bits of metal in the construction. So I based my message on metal, strong and secure. I thought it would be good to walk across. It was the middle of March. There was nobody around. So I duly followed my husband onto the bridge. However, it didn't take many steps for me to realise there was a distinct bouncing sensation. So I called out to Nigel to stop jumping up and down, only to realise that he couldn't hear me. And he was enjoying his walk in the middle of the bridge. And as he got further onto the bridge, it started to swing. It was now going up and down and left and right. Well, I just froze. I was holding on to the ropes for dear life. Nigel, oblivious to it all, turns round and takes a photograph of me. Before he realised that I wasn't very happy. I told myself, just keep walking, one step at a time. And then I had an idea. I'd go back. It wasn't that far. I hadn't got too far onto the bridge. Until that bouncing sensation started again. There were people behind me, so I just had to go forward. So very slowly, step by step, I got to the other side. I was trying to sing to myself, one more step along the world I go. But if you've ever tried it, when your legs are wobbling so much, you can't sing. You can barely breathe. I had experienced the whole experience. It was one I could tick off my list. And guess what? I didn't see a single plant the whole way across. Now, many of us have heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. But I find it fascinating. We know the basics of it, but when we look inside, it's just amazing what really happens. And I'm just focusing on two characters today. The first is Daniel. Now, he didn't choose this situation. We found out that he was working for King Darius and that the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. And he was doing a good job. But he'd also attracted the attention of the other workers. They were jealous of him and his promotions. So when that decree was issued, it meant that all he could do was pray. But you see, Daniel didn't change his actions. He carried on praying. He didn't change or hide his daily prayer routine, even though he knew he was breaking the law. And suddenly, Daniel's arrested, whisked away to the lion's den, and all he could do was keep trusting. And God does protect him from this awful danger. God stayed close to him all through the night, protecting him. And then we look at the actions of King Darius. He'd already noticed that Daniel was a very good worker. He actually knew what was happening in his kingdom. And to a certain part, he did listen to advice from his officials. But as Kathy said, it wasn't good advice. Today, in social media, we have those influencers. And sometimes they lead us down paths we shouldn't go. And that's what happened to Darius. He let his guard down. And then he ended issuing that decree. It doesn't take long before he realised how tricked he has been. But even the king had to follow the Medes and the Persian Empire. We come across it in the story of Esther when we hear the Medes and the Persian laws can't change. And so poor Daniel is off to the lion's den. But what I find interesting is what he says to Daniel. King Darius says in verse 16, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." King Darius acknowledged Daniel's faith and how his life centered around praying to God. He knew that Daniel was a man of God. But the king can't settle that night. We all know it. You can't eat. He didn't want any entertainment. He couldn't sleep. Yet it's all of this. It's fascinating what happened next. In verse 19, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. He hurried. He was up at the first light of dawn. Kings don't normally act like this. And when he came to the den, he called out to Daniel in a voice. He calls out to Daniel. Does he really believe that Daniel might still be alive? And then he calls out and says, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? King Darius still believes there is hope. Otherwise, he wouldn't have spoken to Daniel. And he uses that phrase again, your God, who you continually serve. And then Daniel replies, my God sent his angel, and he shuts the mouth of the lions. King Darius is overjoyed. He has Daniel out of the lion's den, and he realizes there's no injuries on him at all. But the story doesn't finish there. If you read the rest of chapter 6, there's a bit that I won't go into, a bit gruesome. But the bit I want to mention is in verse 22. Verse 26. And Darius is issuing a new decree. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed and his dominion will never end. King Darius acknowledges Daniel's God as the living God. And now he wants everybody in his kingdom to know it. He could have tried to cover up his mistake, but instead he declares to the whole kingdom. Daniel trusted, and King Darius realizes God in all his glory. The words of an old Methodist hymn come to mind. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Life isn't always easy. We're all testament to that. But knowing we have that living God to trust and be alongside each step of the way is such a promise to hold on to. Let us pray. Thank you that you give us your word in the Bible so that we can see how you protect and support those people that love you, as we've seen with Daniel today. 1 minute rising high in his job, the next minute facing death with the lions. Help us to trust in you, in all the little things in life, so that we may be closer to you in our walk with you. Amen. We sing again, Trust and Obey, number 760. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.